All right, everybody. Thank you so much for coming out. Awesome opportunity to be with you again. Making the Hashkafasher happen. Motzi Shabbos, Malava Malka, candy tray, melt away cake, matzah. Get involved. Okay. So tonight we're specifically going to be dealing with a very special topic called Jewish resilience. Resilience. How do we get back up when we fall? So take a source sheet, pass it around. For those on the recording, I'm going to be uploading it also. So tonight we're going to do three particular sources. You probably have seen them once before in your life, but you most likely saw them from a halachic lens or just a shas lens. But it's vital to have a hashkafic lens behind it. So we're going to talk about, particularly the first thing is going to be a gemara in Sukkah, Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. We're also going to go into a Mishnah in Sota, 8-6, and chapter 26 of Masilas Yesharim. And so the main ikar and essence of all this is I feel like in life we go through a ton of struggles, and oftentimes we don't know how to handle them so well. Sometimes we fall down, we start blaming ourselves, we start thinking that it's all my fault, or it's all this, or it's all that. We don't know how to get back up again, or how to not fall in the first place, or if the fall is even part of the problem. And so as a result, we now have a situation where we don't know how to act, we don't know how to interact, and we don't know the Jewish hashkafa on, hey, how's it going? Good to see you. Take a source sheet, come on in. The topic we're doing is Jewish resilience. What kind of sukkah are you? That's the title.
Sukkah, oh, nice.
Okay. Mamish, it's going to be, it's right up everybody's alley. It's called Jewish resilience. What kind of sukkah are you? No cheating by looking at the back of the source sheet, unless you're one of these guys that absolutely have to, you know, see the last page of a book before they read the whole thing. You're put through then. Otherwise, we'll go through it as we see it. Like I was just to recap for some of the guys that came into the room. We're going to be doing a Gemara in Sukkah. We're going to do a Mishnah in Sota. We're going to do a piece from Masilas Yesharim, and hopefully we'll be able to crystallize an understanding of what it is to be a Jew who's resilient. So let's dive in. We're going to look at the Gemara right now in Sukkah. Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Again, if you did Kenyan in your entire lifetime, this is very, very, very apropos. You've seen this sugya before, but you have not seen it necessarily with the lens of Jewish resilience. So here we go. And again, the Mishnah that we're going to be addressing deals with a particular individual who we're going to see right now is going to be Rabbi Akiva, who holds and says that you are allowed to build a sukkah on top of a boat. And not only can you do it, you can go into it on Yom Tov. Mani Matniden, who is the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Akiva, it's Rabbi Akiva. We good? Rabbi Akiva, it's Rabbi Akiva. Detani, it's on the Braisa. Ha'osuka, the Brosh, Ha'sfina. It's on the Braisa that a person who makes a sukkah on top of a boat, Rabbi Gamil, Posil, Rabbi Akiva, Makshir. Rabbi Gamil is going to say that it's not allowed. Rabbi Gamil puzzles the whole thing. And Rabbi Akiva says, Makshir, you're allowed. You can make it. So we have a story. Maisa of Rabbi Gamil, a story with Rabbi Gamil, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, Shehaya Ba'an Basfina. They were traveling out together on a boat. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Va'osa Sukkah Barosh HaSfina. And Rabbi Akiva stood up and he made a sukkah on top of the boat. Lamachar, and the next day, Nishbaruach Va'akarata. A wind came and uprooted the entire sukkah. It's gone. Amalo Rabbi Gamil Akiva, Hechan Sukkatacha. Rabbi Gamil says to Rabbi Akiva, where's your sukkah? And so many times over when you see this Gemara, you might think that it's Talmudic trash talk. Tonight we're going to see how exactly why it's not. But you might think, hey, Akiva, where's your sukkah? Do you really think that this great Rabbi Gamil is saying that? Maybe. But I think that there's something much, much deeper here. He's going to really be asking you, where is your sukkah? And we're going to understand what our sukkah really actually is from a hashkafic lens. Okay? Good. So we're going to keep going weiter. Now, we have a situation again. Our maisa is what? That we have Rabbi Gamil, Rabbi Akiva, they're out on a boat together. And Rabbi Akiva says, I'm going to go build a sukkah. And then the next day it blows right over. Rabbi Gamil says, where'd your sukkah go? Okay, now, again, we're looking at this with a hashkafic lens about resilience. We're out on a boat. Winds are blowing strong. Amar Abaya. Abaya says, the Kuli Alma. The Kuli Alma. Everybody agrees. Hecha de'ana yechol amad baruch matzuya de'abasha lo klumhi. Everybody says Abaya. Everybody agrees that in a situation where this sukkah is so weak and flimsy that it can't even hold up to a regular common wind on land, that's not a sukkah at all. Okay? But la'amud b'she'ena matzuya de'abasha kuli alma lo pligi de'kesheira. Everybody holds it. If this sukkah is so strong that it has the capacity to hold up to even an uncommon wind on land, then it's kosher. Low pligi. Everybody's going to grieve to that. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva. Now, so then where do they argue? Ki pligi. This is the argument. This is everything. And then you have to change the gear. So it's not Baruch She'ena Metzuya De'Basha. It's going to be Baruach Metzuya De'Yam. The argument is, in a situation where you have a sukkah out on a boat that is able to stand up to a regular common land wind, but it can't hold up to a common sea wind. Everybody clear? The issue is that it can't hold up to a sea wind, but it can hold up to a regular common wind that's out on land, a weaker one. Rabbi Gamliel savar sukkah dira kevba einan. Rabbi Gamliel holds that a sukkah has to be permanent. Dira keva pe'enon, that's what I need to have. I need to have a permanent dwelling. V'ke'evan de'ene yechol lama baruch mitzuyah di'am lo kolomi. And if it's unable, when it's out on the boat, to hold up to that, the environs of where it is, that's not a sukkah at all. That's not even going to be anything to me. But Rabbi Akiva savar sukkah dira arai pe'enon. But Rabbi Akiva, who holds that a sukkah is allowed to be arai, v'ke'evan de'yechol lama baruch mitzuyah di'bashya k'sheira. So for Rabbi Akiva, it's fine as long as it holds up to a regular common wind on land. We all understand the halakha components, the ramifications of sugya. We're all in the rocket ship. We can blast off the planet Hashkafa. All right, let's go. So let's understand what's happening here. We have a situation where, Rabosai, in life, our sukkah is going to get knocked down. We're going to be facing challenges. We're going to be facing obstacles in life. And the chiddush of this Gemara isn't necessarily that the struggle came before my fall. The chiddush of the Gemara is that the test sometimes is Hashem is going to push you down. How did you get back up again? Akiva, where's your sukkah? Did you get back up? Did you do anything? What are you going to do now that your sukkah fell? That's the chiddush. The chiddush, we all agree, we all understand that a test in life sometimes is, you know what, I need to get up for davening today. I know I should do so. I need to get there on time. And I failed. We all know that kind of test. But how often do we know of tests where we have an October 7th that happens? Completely out of our control, ordained by Hashem that this is going to happen globally. Or how about individually? We may not know necessarily what the test is. We're going to have to go through a lot of soul searching to figure that out. But it's kedai to understand that in life there's going to be a test that comes your way that involves how you handled the fall. Not necessarily that you shouldn't fall. You're going to have a test in life, and it's not, oh, let me get all depressed now and upset at myself that I fit. Hashem pushed you down for a reason. He pushed you down, Taka, so you could get back up again or not get back up again. That's the chiddush. Okay, now we can cheat, turn over to the last page. Discussion questions. Gemara in Sukkah 23a. What kind of sukkah are you? Are you Arai or Keva? Do I have to be Arai? Do I have to be Keva? And what does Hashem require of me? So this comes from Rabbi Silber in Baltimore, Maryland. He's the Mor D'Aser of Suburban Orthodox, and he's a huge bucky in all things halacha hashkafa. He says the following, particularly pertaining to this Gemara. The halacha and the hashkafa line up. They accord with one another. So what's the halacha over here? The Shulchan Aruch tells you in Orach Chaim 628:2 that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. You don't have to be perfect. No one is telling you that you have to hold up to whatever test is going to be your way. Like, no matter what happens, you got to be built tough for it. No. You just have to make sure that you are able to handle your common normal day. Your common normal day. If you can't get through your regular day, you have some work to do. Okay? We all have work to do. But the wind that is so forceful, whether it's out on the moon, whether it's on Mount Everest, whether it's out on a boat, you don't have to hold up to that. You only have to hold up to what God expects of you. And what does the Shulchan Aruch tell us that Hashem expects of us? Just that you're able to hold up to a regular, common land wind. Now, so are we Arai or Keva? You don't have to be Keva. In fact, the Halakha tells you, don't be. You're supposed to be Arai. Why? Because like we just got done saying, there are going to be tests in life that will knock you down. That's half the point. And if you were at the shiur that we gave a while back, when it came to actually tests and what are the tests that Hashem shows you based on Rav Emanuel Bernstein and the pots and the cows and you don't need that to know this, but that will help inform this. That was on tests in general. This is now you fell down, what are you going to do to get back up again? This isn't how to pass tests. This is This is like the Matrix has you. Like the test is you fell. Now what? Are you resilient enough to see? Now what are you going to do? So now that we have that and we're going to inform everything, let's go weiter to the next source. Because what that's going to do for us, this mission in Sota, is going to help us understand after our fall, how do we get back up again? What's our avoda? What's the whole point with Jewish resilience? And again, the whole secular world wants you to think that the only test you're going to have in life comes before you failed. The Chiddush is not that you failed. You didn't fail. You didn't fail at all. The whole entire point was that by falling, the test is now, what are you going to do after? Are you going to get back up or not? So let's go fight there. So let's look at this mission. And so if you did, so we just did something that you did in Kenyan. Now let's do something that we've seen if you've done Mishnah Yomi. And if not, if you've seen the eighth parak of Sota at all. So like this. The Mishnah in Sota in the eighth parak particularly talks about, rip that guy off, it's okay. Yeah. Eat that candy, eat that food, it's fine. Don't worry. We can be loud in here, it's okay. The recording people, they can, you know, whatever. So like this. The Mishnah in Sota in the eighth parak completely is going to be talking now about, oh, there he is. Good to see you. Come on in, Shavuot Tov. I've never seen you. The Mishnah in Sota, particularly in the 8th Perek, is dealing with war. When Klal Yisrael goes out to war and the battle that they, the battles that we face, the battles that we're involved in, and things like that. Particularly with the arrangements of battalions, the ordering of things, how did we do it, what did we do? And as we read this, I want to give away the cheat code again. It's important to understand that our rabbis deeply tell us that this is not just about battles that we fought back then. Every battle you find in the Torah is going to be connected a battle with you against your Yetzer Hara. It's going to be connected against a battle that you face in the world. And how we learn what our ancestors did in fighting that particular battle could be insightful for us now to figure out how we can battle our Yetzer Hara, how we can get back up, and how we can stand. And even just knowing how they arranged things will help us do that. So let's dive in. This is the mission in Sota. It's right here. It's 8:6. Vahaya kechalot hashotrim ledaber el ha'am. And it shall be when the officers conclude speaking to the people, ufaktu sarei tzivakot barosh ha'am, that the captains of legions shall be appointed at the head, uva'akevo shel am. And you're going to also put them as well at the rear. Okay? Ma'amidin, this is an important word. Ma'amidin zekifin lifnayhem. And Rabbi Hillel Feldman of the Aguda said, keeper uppers. People who are going to stand you up. It's not just guards like this translation is going to have. This is the best I got. But you will appoint keeper uppers in the front. Va'acherim me'acherehem. And in the back, you're going to have people also there. What are they going to do though? V'chashilin, only in the back now, shall barzel b'yedehen. They're going to have iron rods in their hands. V'chol hamavakesh lachazor. And for anybody who has a thought that I'm going to now go and flee the battle, I'm going to run, ha'reshut, they have permission, b'yado lekapeach et shokav. Mafia style, I'm going to break your legs. Knock them out. Okay? Shetechilat nisa nefilo. Because the beginning of your downfall is when you flee. They bring pesukim. Shne'amar, nas Yisrael lifnei filishtim v'gam magefa gedola. Haita ba'am ulahalan hu omer v'yanusu anshe Yisrael mipnei filishtim v'yiplu chalim. And so the pesukim are talking about when the plishtim were attacking Klal Yisrael. So it says Yisrael fled before the plishtim, and there also then was a great slaughter among the people. And further on, it's going to say, and the men of Yisrael fled before the plishtim and fell down slain. So let's understand what we're saying here before we get into shkafic mode. Just the Mishnah mode.
Just like a question on, like, I guess
the metzius of the
metzius. Like, is there no such thing as tactical retreat in our armies?
Sounds like it, right?
Well, it's not tactical if one guy decides.
Mm. Oh, very good. So very good. Very good, yeah. Joseph. So we're going to talk about that too. Great. So let's just get the scene. We're out at battle. We're on the front lines. Everybody was called out. We already talked about when your Patur or your Chayiv and the other Mishnahs of the parts of Sota and the 8th Parak were saying, are you married and Patur and all this type of stuff about is it Shana Rishon? All these. And now we're out there. We're on the front lines. Mm-hmm. In the front, meaning everybody was put, there's already going to be put there anyway. But okay, so everybody who's chayv to be there is now there on the front line. And so you now have guards in the front, guards in the back. Keeper uppers, strong individuals who are going to do two things. One, they're going to boost your morale verbally and emotionally. And two, if you fell down, they're going to pick you back up. Strong dudes that are going to pick you back up. And in the back, what do you have? You have guys with metal iron weapons so that if somebody tries to flee the battle without everybody unilaterally agreeing, assumption is the captain, good question, Dan and Nakamovich, saying, what about a retreat? Can we of course, there are times you can retreat, but not just one guy. Like Yosef said, not just one guy, not just two guys. Because what's going to happen? One guy who's going to go and flee is then going to then ruin it for the whole claw. They're going to break morale. They're going to possibly cause death. You have almost a road ape situation, I would argue, which almost is why you can maybe not kill him, but you can almost knock out his legs. Hopefully it's enough of a deterrent.
Are we talking about individuals on the individual basis or on the collective basis?
Very good. So right now, before we get into the hashgaf mode, which is the second thing on individual level, just Matzias of this Mishnah, we're talking about the battles of grand battles of Klal Yisrael versus other nations.
Because like when Gideon had all the people who fled and then the people who wouldn't drink water correctly, they drank like animals and they were like kicked out. You only had 300 men and they still won. So even if we had fleers and deserters and even if we had sinners, and they weren't sinners, they were just people who...
Sinners are okay to fight. Sinners can fight.
Yeah, but with Gideon, we won nevertheless. As long as even if people... Am Yisrael prevails no matter what.
Very good. I love that. It's very true. Apparently, Chazal were worried enough to say, though, that we don't even want to let there be a chashash, a worry of fleeing. If you're out on the front lines, you got to be there. All right, so let's go. Hashkafically, we're looking at battles with Klal Yisrael reflect battles with ourselves. And everything in this is not an independent source. I mean, it can be, but it hopefully will all blend together. What we saw in the Gemara in Sukkah is going to inform what we need to now do, right? Akiva, where's your sukkah? What are you going to do now that it fell right here? Put two people or some people in front of you. You have to have keeper uppers. Who are your keeper uppers? Let's go to the back page again. Are you making use of your guards on the front lines to help you get back up when the winds of life uproot your sukkah? Who are your guards? Both in front and behind, and they might differ, right? And so remember, our rabbis are going to tell us that the battles in the Torah teach us how to handle our personal battles against the Yetzer Hara and the challenges of life. So hopefully, now that you realize the chiddush of everything here is that tests in life are not just, oh, did I pass the challenge? Oh man, I failed. No, sometimes it's, hey, guess what? It will look like a failure, but actually that's the test. Did you get back up again? Did you get back up again? Do you have guard stationed in the front? Do you have people in the back to make sure that there's no chance you're ever gonna fall again? Or you're ever going to make this mistake? What are your guards? What are you going to do? How do you approach it? And so when you put all of this together, we can start brainstorming. For some people, it'll actually be friendship, a chabura, individuals that help pick you back up again when you fail. That guy who, if you're really struggling in a certain area, who's there with you to help get you out to Gibor Chayil, no matter what the time is, to make sure that you have the ability to go and exercise. The guy who needs to help you when it comes to davening or making it to night seder, or it could be an even bigger test. My uncle passed away, and maybe that this entire shir, by the way, is Luli Nishmat, my uncle Jerry, Yosef Ben David. And how do you handle when a relative dies? Again, I can't control that. I didn't fall down. I didn't fail. But I did fall when he died. How do I get back up again? So do you put guards on the front lines that can help you there? Who is your essentially support system in life? These are all things to ruminate on. This is all fertile ground for understanding deeply what your avoda is in the world of resilience. So we know that obviously there's tests that we're going to fail. There's tests that we're going to pass. There's situations in life that are literally going to knock our sukkah down. And now we have some framework to see positively what we can do about it. But I want to branch out. You don't just have to have people. You could have midos. A person who works on a particular character tree can have that be the thing that's stationed at his gate. That could be stationed at the front to help him get back up again. For example, a person who has chronic low self-esteem, this is the entire generation that we live in, Rabbi Twersky spoke about this. He wrote a million books all about just this one theme, self-esteem, right? A person who's played with chronic self-esteem issues is going to have a hard time getting back up again when the sukkah falls over. But a person who has solid self-esteem knows, well, you know what? Okay, I fell down over here. Hashem sent me this challenge, but I can weather the storm. I can get back up and rebuild. Where's my sukkah? It's right here again because I'm going to rebuild it. Oh, you think it's going to fall down tomorrow? That's okay. It's here now. And in the back, what do you do in the back? Also, might be mitos. It might be, I'm going to kenas myself in this particular challenge in life. If I don't get up, I'm going to have to pay a certain fine. Or I have webcha there, and if I'm surfing the net and doing something improper, my partner is going to now see all that. But those might be, and again, we don't have to knock our knees out over here, right? We have to, but proverbially, enough for you to be shaken to your core to say, I have to do something about this. That's our framework. And so we have to recognize that this is the key to really making a go at all things. And then lastly, let's look at the Mishnah Sharm, because that's going to very much, I think, inform what we got over here. What?
No, that's the last chapter, right?
Yeah, 26. You got it. And so now let's look, last source, Mishnah Sharm. For time's sake, we're only going to do the English over here. But this, I think, is part and parcel of everything. If you haven't made it to this part of Mishnah Sharm, you need to. It's absolutely mission critical. Rebbe and Yeshiva, Rabbi Gershenfeld, he spoke about this all the time. Rabbi Bilowitz actually mentioned it in a prior shir, I believe, over a year or so ago. This is everything. We can easily understand that every person needs this Mishnah Sharm now. Direction and guidance in accordance with his skills and his occupation. Since the path of piety appropriate for one whose Torah is his vocation is unsuitable for one who must place himself in the employ of another. And neither of these ways is suitable for one who is engaged in his own business. And this is the case regarding all the other particulars of human affairs in the world. There's a path to piety that is suitable to each and every individual, whatever his vocation. This is not to say that the nature of piety changes. It doesn't. The nature of piety doesn't vary, for it's the same for everyone, since its goal is to bring pleasure to the Creator. But in view of the fact that circumstances are always changing, the means leading toward the implementation of the goal must also vary according to the circumstances that prevail. It's possible that someone who out of necessity is a simple artisan may become a completely pious person, like an individual who never stops learning. And it states, the Eternal created everything for his own sake, and it says, in all your ways know him, and he will direct your path. You see, Rabosa, so many times we think, oh, I'm not that guy that learns all day long. I'm not that guy that owns that business. And you, with your own midos, with your own character, with your own task in life, are going to build a sukkah that can withstand life's challenges. And if you fall down, that's okay. You'll get back up. And this can be your guard behind you. This Mishnah Sharm, if you really truly dive into the kishkes of it, you can see how this understanding becomes your path to realize who you are, who are your guards in the front, who are your guards in the back. And so, at the end of the day, we're going to look and see, are you following a path to Chassidut at all? Are we on one? Are we thinking about it? Because if you fell down and you get back up, where are you going? Where's your battle? Where are you marching out to war to? Hopefully to accomplish something in the world. Are you on the correct path for your individual circumstances? Is that path helping you when your sukkah falls down? And the most critical piece here is to take chizik. There is a unique path that's perfect for you. You just need to make the time to find it. Do a cheshbon nefesh. Think about it. Reflect. Appreciate who you are and see that the path to piety doesn't have to be the same for everybody. You can be a full-time learner and become a chassid, and you can also be, I don't like the term balabas, but for, you know, simplicity's sake, I'll use that term, a balabas, and still become a chassid. And you need to have that. And if you have that chizik, to realize that with every power that I have inside of me, Hashem is enabling me to grow in a bigger, better direction, then I can get up every time. If I was knocked down, I can get back up again. And I can put this Mishnah Sharm as the guards behind me if I need to be motivated not to flee when I want to flee and times are hard, or I can have it be right in the front when I want it to pick me up. And so Lamaisa, let's just do a big sikkum. We talked about a Gemara in Sukkah. We talked about a Mishnah in Sota, and now the Mishnah Sharm. We said, what kind of Sukkah am I? What's the ultimate Hashkafic approach to Jewish resilience? The answer is that we only have to be Arai. The Halacha accords with the Hashkafa accords with the Halacha. God is going to sometimes knock you down as the test. And how do you get back up? We said in the Mishnah and Sota, those who appoint guards in the front and behind, they're going to fare very well at this. And ultimately, Misal Yisharim can be your guide to know the proper path for you to walk down. And we should be Zocha. We should be Zocha to see and appreciate what it is to be a resilient person getting up, what it is to be a resilient person when we fall down, and what the ultimate approach to all Hishkafic issues in the area of resilience is. Thank you for listening.